For a reading from 1 John chapter 4, verses 18 through 21, hear the word of God. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, for fear has to do with punishment. And whoever fears has not reached perfection in love. We love because He first loved us. Those who say, I love God, and hate their brother or sister are liars. For those who do not love a brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. The commandment we have from Him is this: those who love God must love their brothers and sisters also. And this is the word of the Lord. When it comes to hearing the word of the Lord, our ears are open. There are easy ways to hear it, and there are more difficult ways to hear it. I prefer the easy over the difficult. It's just the way I am. When I hear, for example, the prodigal son, I see myself as the prodigal son. I've messed up, but by amazing grace, I am saved, saved a wretch like me. It's as easy as hearing the water being poured into that baptismal font. Ah, forgiven. It's much more difficult, I think, to hear that passage from the standpoint of the older brother who's worked so hard and can't celebrate those people who are coming into the kingdom. That's tough to be left out of the party. It's harder to read that passage from the viewpoint of the fatted calf. Ever think about that? Just minding your own business out in the field, and then you have to have your life taken for the sake of a dinner party? Blameless suffering? This is my body, broken for you. Who would do that? That's a hard way to go, isn't it? No, I prefer an easier word. You know, I like that story in the Bible where they take that lame person to go see Jesus. They needed four people to carry that. You know, if I'm going to identify with anyone in that passage, I'm the guy who's getting carried to Jesus. You don't even have to lift a finger. I can't imagine the harder way to go and being, say, one of the persons that would have to carry me, though I'm lighter than I look. Yeah, I think that would still be a burden. I can't imagine being the guy who owned the house. It was packed, packed to the gills. All those people in your house there to see Jesus, and then suddenly the roof rips open and they lower this person down in front of Jesus. Now, it's all great to have a miracle, but Jesus, who's going to repair the roof? That's a harder way to look at it from the standpoint of the homeowner, don't you think? Jesus was a real home wrecker. He was. Taking all that money, and then you got to spend it on a roof, and you were planning to go to Europe that year. Oh, Jesus messes with your finances. It's a harder way to look at that passage. When it comes to the Word of God, there's an easy way, and I'll take it. For example, this passage from 1 John. We love because God first loved us. What I like to hear, what I choose to hear, is God first loved us. Don't you just love that? God first loved us. I love that. Don't you like to be in the first love category? Like the bumper sticker says, Jesus loves you, but I'm his favorite. I mean, what's not to love? Beth and I sat around a table the other week with a woman who was obviously a Christian. You know the type. There are those happy, 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 I'm a Christian, happy Christian type of people who they just seem to exude that God loves them first. And sometimes I need to point out the other way around. No. God loves me first. This table conversation was just one example. You see, at the conversation, the word got out that I was a pastor. And when that happens now, when somebody says, oh, you're a pastor, the first thing I do is I pull out my cell phone and I find a picture that was taken up from the balcony of this congregation on Easter Sunday, and I just hold the picture up here. That keeps me from having to engage in a conversation. Do you know how long it takes to unpack the word pastor? You say pastor and all sorts of images pop up. You got your skinny jean pastor. You got your big floppy Bible pastor. You got your pastors in the little brown church in the Vale pastor. Look, I say, look, that's the pastor I am. What's not to love? She looked at the photo. She looked at this photo, this woman who is obviously a Christian, and you know what her response was? She said, I guess there needs to be buildings like that. I think of all the money spent on those ceilings in the churches in Europe. I guess there's a need for that. But I guess if it helps to inspire worship, I just got all up. She was poking fun at you all, making mockery of this place. I said, do you know how much our congregation gives away? Do you know how many nonprofits our congregation started? Everyone needs Jesus, even people with wealth. It's amazing how people just get under your skin. And the easiest way to deal with them is to remember, God first loved me first. We're Presbyterian. We're predestined, which is another way of saying God first loved us. Membership has its privileges here, people. Right from the beginning, we are children of God. When we baptize infants, it shows just how God loves us. Just like a mother loves a child, even before the child is born, that mother's all about love. You can just see it on her face, the good mother. And when that child is born, wow, love instantly, even before the baby can say, I love you, Mom. Love. We love because God first loved us. But you see, with that woman at the table, I just wanted to take that easy way. Don't you understand? Don't you understand? I'm loved first. God loved me first. I just wanted to just take her down a notch. She was so Christian. So I could be Christian. But that's the easy way. There's a harder way. We love because God first loved us. God first loved us, that's easy. We love. We love. And I have to love this woman for all that she brings to the table. And where do you start? How do you begin that hard way? How do you begin to love? I think you begin by looking squarely and deeply into your own soul. I'm trying to learn that I need to step away from my need to fight for God's love. That woman had me fighting for God's love. It's ridiculous. I felt slighted for some reason. That's what happens when we get riled up, when we get angry. Think about it. We feel like we're We're being accused of being less, of not being loved. She was making me feel that I wasn't good enough, that... And that's the hard way. I got to start dealing with my own anger and my own bitterness. I got to look deeply into my own muck. And when I see it all, that mess that I am, then I can hear the words, God loves. God loves. In the depth of my ugh, that's when I discover amazing grace. Not just for my soul, but for the souls of others. God loves that person who's so obviously a Christian because somehow, God loves me who's less obviously a Christian. The other night we had up here our elders sharing their faith stories. And what a great night. What a great night. It reminds me of why I do what I do. Just, God, thank you. Thank you for the good words. The stories that they tell. I was struck by the faith stories of every single one of them. There was a new elder, Elizabeth Ball. And her story struck me because it is so unlike my own. She grew up in a church that said God loved us, but, you know, it wouldn't hurt to straighten up a bit. You need to get your act together. And the more you know that God loves you. And if you don't have your act together, you got to get your act together. She said, finally, I heard the good news at a Presbyterian church that I was loved. God loved me unconditionally. The grace. Nothing I can do to make God love me any less. Nothing I can do to make God love me anymore. God loves me. She became fully immersed in the love and the life and became fully immersed in the Presbyterian church as a young woman. And then she talked about her brother being on a scouting trip in the mountains of North Carolina and getting caught in a freak snowstorm. He died of hypothermia. Talked about Billy Graham sending out his search dogs to try to find and rescue the boy. What do you do in so much loss and pain when you believe in God and the love of God? You know, sometimes I think even being angry with God, at least that's faith. At least you have someone to be angry at. I didn't hear that in her story. I think what I heard was that as she was weeping, God was weeping too. Keeping the faith, that's the hard way. To love God. She said years later, she was on a beach trip with her family, and her brother joined them, and her brother announced that he was gay. It was the 1980s. He announced to his career military father and brother he was gay. And then he announced that he had AIDS. The 1980s. And when you had AIDS in the 1980s, there was none of this individual freedom to do whatever you wanted to do. No, we laid down the law. We didn't want them in our schools. We didn't want them in their hospitals. That stuff will kill you. I remember the story of the pastor who went to visit a parishioner who had AIDS and just shouted in a prayer from the aisle, the hallway of the hospital, into the door. Whew, can you imagine? Some preachers said it was God's will on the sinners of this world. Elizabeth said, we were at the beach. My brother announced he was gay and he had AIDS. And she said, at that time, I did not know what to do with that information. I didn't know what to think. She said, I just walked out to the beach, sat down in the water with my Diet Coke and a cigarette. Now, there's an image. The harder word of Scripture is to say, we love. Heidi read that passage of the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts. The eunuch from Ethiopia, the last place on earth you'd think God would want anybody to know the love of God. And Philip, right there with him. The Ethiopian, reading the scripture. This person who's been kept out, kept out, kept out, kept out. Reading Isaiah, doesn't understand what he's reading. And Philip has to say, you're reading about God's love. Well, I want to be baptized. What can prevent me from being baptized? And Philip must have thought, I can think of a few people back in Jerusalem. Look, there's some water. Can you imagine being Philip? Having to stand up for the love of God and the power of the Spirit. Having to come back to the church and saying, I baptized an Ethiopian. It wasn't me, really. It was the Spirit. A hard word is to say we love. And then Elizabeth told of how this military family and a mother cared for this son. Every day until he died, they loved him. Every day until he died, and then the day after that, and the day after that, and the day after that. There's a lot of fear in this world right now. There's a lot of division in this world. A lot of it is about who to love and who to hate. And we're being coerced to pick a side. But we don't do that. We do the harder thing. We pick up a cross. And if you find a side that is stronger and more powerful than the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, if you find a hatred that is stronger than the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that Jesus could not redeem, if you found a thing that Paul could not find when he said, there is nothing that can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, if you find that thing that can separate us, well, quit coming to this place and worship that thing. Because congratulations, you found the one thing that is more powerful than the cross of Jesus Christ. Oh, people are leaning into a civil war these days. It's all about righteousness. But it's not our war. It's not our battle. It's not our vision. We love. We love.